as we began to discuss, different mitzvahs that take up part of our life cycle, but particularly focusing on the brachas that are recited during those mitzvahs. Last week we spoke a lot about the mitzvah bris milah, now we move to the next mitzvah, which for some people is part of the life cycle, most children is not part of the life cycle, that's the mitzvah of pidyon haben. And we spoke a little bit about it in the past, but now we get really to the sugya itself, and there are some interesting aspects, particularly of the brachas that are recited and those brachas that are not recited at pidyon haben, which open up some different ideas about those brachas for us. If we take a look at the first in Rambam Kamos, starts out with the Rambam Menuchas Bikurim in Perek Yudalef Halacha Hey, with Rambam deals with the dinner of pidyon haben. Apodes b'no mevarech asher kiddushanu mitzvayis mitzvah al pidyon haben. The Rambam writes, number one, that you recite a bracha before pidyon haben. Not surprising, like any other mitzvah. But the Rambam also tells us precisely what the nusach bracha is. That the bracha is al pidyon haben. So here we're going to make a note of the fact that one could have theoretically conceived of the bracha being lifdoses haben. But the Rambam says specifically the nusach is al pidyon haben. The chozim bracha shechiyanu. And afterwards we'll recite the shechiyanu. We spoke a little bit about that in the last week. What that Shechiyanu is all about. Some Mishnayim say it's a Shechiyanu because pidyon haben is a rare mitzvah. Others say it's a Shechiyanu because of the great Simcha involved in pidyon haben. But the Gemara says explicitly there is a Shechiyanu. So we have a bracha, the nusach is al pidyon haben with a Shechiyanu. The chachan noisin a pidyon the kohen. And then after one recites the brachas, then one gives the money to the kohen. Again, highlighting the halacha we spoke about many times. Kol mitzvos mevarchlem ovelas yosim. Bracha first, then the mitzvah. What if a person is performing pidyon haben on himself? The Gemara condition says that if a father didn't perform the mitzvah, and the child, when he reaches bar mitzvah, should perform the mitzvah on himself. So then, mevarach liftos habachor, mevarach shechiyanu. So you also say shechiyanu, but rather than saying al pidyon habachor, al pidyon atzmo something, you say liftos habachor. So notice the nuance of a difference in the Rambam between the nusach of the bracha when you perform the mitzvah on yourself, where the bracha is with a lamed, liftos habachor, in contrast to when you perform it on your son, when the nusach changes and it becomes al pidyon haben. And the question is there any significance to that? So we could just ignore that significance, lam and al, it's all the same thing. But the Rambam himself in his brachas tells us that difference is in fact significant. So the Rambam in the second of the Maamar Kamos, in his brachas, break it off, halacha yud aleph. So the Rambam introduces Hilchus brachas haMitzvah, kala oisa mitzvah, bein shayis achol ve'alav, bein shayin achol ve'alav. Whenever a person performs a mitzvah, whether it's a mitzvah that's an absolute obligation, or whether it's a mitzvah that one didn't necessarily have to do, but if one chooses to do it, it is considered to be a mitzvah. But in both cases, im also la'atzmo mevarach la'asos, also salachir mevarach la'asiyah. It says the Rambam, if you do the mitzvah for yourself, you're being mostly yourself in effect, you perform the mitzvah on your own behalf, then the bracha is with a lamed, la'asos, which makes a lot of sense. Le has the connotation that I am doing it, I am obligated to do it. I'm addressing the fact that I am doing this mitzvah, this is my mitzvah. But if I do it on behalf of somebody else, then I cannot recite le, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't mitzvah me, le, to do this. I'm helping out somebody else, I'm doing the mitzvah on behalf of somebody else. Then the nuscha bracha gets changed to al. Then it makes more sense to say al. Al is a more of a general statement about I'm thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for the mitzvah in general. Le has the connotation that I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So after the Rambam gives you these general headings of al versus le, then he spells out the specifics in Halacha Yedei. Ketzad. Lovash tefillin, person puts on tefillin, mevarach lahaniach tefillin, and obviously one should recite the bracha lahaniach, because le has the connotation something that you're doing for yourself. When you're putting on tefillin, you're not doing it for anybody else, you're obviously doing it for yourself. The Rambam doesn't even quote the second bracha on tefillin of al mitzvah tefillin for a reason. The Rambam Shita is that in regular circumstances you don't ever recite that bracha. The Rambam Shita is that the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin is only recited if you spoke between the Shoyad and the Shorosh. Then the bracha of the Shoyad is no longer intact, so we have to give you almost a booby prize, a secondary, a second bracha, and that's the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. That's not really the primary bracha. Our minhag is not like the Rambam. Most of us follow the practice of Rabbi Tam, that we recite a bracha on tefillin Shorosh every single day. But in deference to the view of the Rambam holds that you're not supposed to, unless you actually spoke. That's why we have the custom of saying Baruch Shem immediately after putting on the tefillin Shorosh, just to cover ourselves in case it's according to the Rambam, it's a bracha levatola. But getting back to the story, so the Rambam gives you lists of examples of mitzvahs that are done for you personally, and therefore the bracha is a lit. But one is lahaniach tefillin. Nisate patzitzis mevarach lisatez. If a person puts on tzitzis, then he recites the bracha lisate patzitzis. Some of us may be familiar with the bracha. Many of us haven't said that bracha in a long time. The bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis. Many people who are married don't say that bracha anymore. That bracha was only for someone who puts on a talis katan. Some people recite the bracha on a talis katan in the morning, then they make the sati for the talis gadol when they get to shul. Many people don't say a bracha on the talis katan, knowing that they're going to say l'sati for the talis gadol and to pass the boat. So the bracha of al mitzvah tzitzit is really a very, very strange bracha. It doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. The Ramah writes that he thinks the reason why this bracha exists is for the following strange phenomena. He says that al mitzvah tzitzit was instituted by the Rishonim for a talis katan. Why is that? In the days of Chazal, people didn't wear talis katan. They wore regular clothing. The regular clothing were four-cornered garments. So everything was in effect the talis gadol. People walked around the street with the talis gadol. As clothing styles changed a little bit, but people stopped walking around wearing talises in the street. So the Rishonim instituted this idea of at least having some kind of a beggar that's four-cornered. Then at Torah, whatever beggar you wear a four-cornered garment under your clothes, on top of your clothes, anywhere, you chayv and tzitzis. So in the olden days, people naturally wore four-cornered garments. Today, nobody naturally wears a four-cornered beggar. So the Rishonim instituted to put on a special beggar, what we call a talis katan. So the Ramah writes that very often the talis katan was too small. It wasn't the right shear. It wasn't large enough to actually be a beggar to be chayv and tzitzis. It would be a bracha levatala. And Rishonim said, you should make the bracha al mitzvah tzitzis. Al mitzvah tzitzis is less of a bracha levatala than the hisatif tzitzis. The hisatif means, I'm saying to the Rebbe Shalom, I'm hereby about to put on tzitzis. Not true, not putting on tzitzis. When you make a bracha al mitzvah tzitzis, you're theoretically thanking the Rebbe Shalom for this beautiful mitzvah that I happen not to be performing. So it's much less of a bracha levatala. That's what the Ramah suggests. Strange reason why this, where this Nuscha Bracha came from. But the Rambam never heard of this Al Mitzvah Tzitzis. The Rambam was before this Al Mitzvah Tzitzis. But the Rambam doesn't talk about that. So the Rambam talks about the brachas and mitzvahs that you yourself are doing, putting on tefillah, putting on tzitzis. Yashe b'sukkah, b'varach leishe b'sukkah. When you sit in the sukkah, so you make a bracha leishe b'sukkah, because you're doing it for yourself. The chenu b'varach lahadik neshul Shabbos v'ligmar tzahalel. All the brachas that are done on your own personal mitzvahs. Then the Ram gives him an example, something we spoke about last week. If you mal your child, so you make a bracha leh. Shach a pischa, v'chagigasam, v'vrach lishcho. Yishach tikam in Pesach, yishach tikam in Chayir, you make a bracha lishcho. So that pretty much exhausts the list, says the Rambam. Just about all the, I mean, probably a few others. But these are many of the mitzvahs that are recited with Aleh, and they all highlight the same theme that you're doing it yourself. However, in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, "Aval im kova mezuzah le'achirim." If a person puts up a mezuzah for somebody else's house, somebody calls you and says, "Please do me a favor and put up my mezuzah." The bracha kviyas mezuzah, the Rambam says, "That's not a minute, but the Rambam says you make the bracha kviyas mezuzah." Also, lehem makev, you build a makev for somebody else's house. The bracha alasiyas makev. Hifresh lehem truma, the bracha alafrashas truma. And then the Ram says, Molas ben chaveiro mevarach ala mila. When you're doing a meal on somebody else's son, not my son, I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for him. So therefore the bracha is going to be ala mila v'chein kukayot be'elu. So these are the two rules that the Rambam develops for us. A mitzvah you're doing personally, it's with a le. First, a mitzvah you're doing on behalf of somebody else, you're doing with an al. That's right. The Gemara's whole discussion about it. Oh, very good. Okay, good. Okay, good. So there are other factors that go into that discussion. The Gemara has a discussion with Len Al in terms of the dikduk, and then the Rishon pick up from there to try to figure out what other kolam possibly may exist, why we end up with the bracha Abi Yochan. Okay, we have to get close to the Pesach and try to talk about that a little bit. So it doesn't go against it. It means I can help somebody else do a mitzvah. I can put it... No, it's not really. Arevus just means that I'm like a mechubidav. If there's another Jew who hasn't put on tefillin, I can be motzim in the bracha because I have to make sure he takes care of his mitzvah. But it's not the same. It's still not my mitzvah. It's still not my anachas. So with this background, now we have to go back to the first Rambam Kamos for a minute and see how did the Rambam formulate the brachas on Pidgin Aben. So with the Rambam, back to the first Rambam Kamos, it was Bikur and Perek Yidav Lachahei, Hapodes Bino, Mevarech Asher Kiddushon Mitzvayses Var Al Pidgin Aben. The Rambam writes, you recite the bracha al pidgin aben. Why is that? Why don't you recite the bracha liftosis aben? The same way the Ram says a second later, if you pode yourself, you make a bracha liftos abachor. So why is it when it comes to pidgin aben, when I'm doing pidgin aben to my son, isn't that my mitzvah? I'm supposed to do it. Abachor benechatifteh. Isn't it considered to be my mitzvah? Why doesn't it get? Why doesn't it receive the bracha with the nusach of alamid? So the Rivash writes in the Tshuva that he thinks what the Ram is driving at is as follows. There is a fundamental question as to what the nature of the mitzvah of pidyon haben, specifically as it relates to the father. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us that first and foremost, the father does pidyon haben. If the father didn't get around doing it, so then when the child turns bar mitzvah, he does it on himself. But one could raise the following question: who is the real chiyuv of pidyon haben on? One could suggest that the real mitzvah of pidyon haben is on the child himself. Why mitzvah al b'chor? I have to be pidyon myself. But since the Torah wanted pidyon haben to happen when the baby is very, very young, 30 days old, it would be kind of strange to insist that the baby be pidyon himself at that age. So therefore, the Torah, in effect, put the father as the shaliach, put the father in place, put him as the guardian of the child. The same way he's doing everything else for the child, he'll take care of the mitzvah. But fundamentally, the mitzvah is a mitzvah saben. The mitzvah pidyon haben really belongs to the son. The father is doing it almost like a shaliach on behalf of the son. Or maybe no. Maybe we totally misunderstood that. Maybe the mitzvah of pidyon haben, the chayiv es ha'av. The mitzvah is fundamentally on the father. The fact that when the father didn't do it and the child turns by mitzvah, he has to do it himself. The leis breira. Someone's got to do it. So obviously, if the father's not around to do it, then the son that does it. But the mitzvah starts as a real chovas ha'av. It's not a chovas ha'ben ala av. It comes to Rivash and says, from the Lashon and Rambam, it would appear which of these two tzad and which of these two sides of the chakir is correct. If the nature of the mitzvah pidyon haben would be a direct obligation, a direct commandment to the father, it's his personal obligation, like putting on tefillin, so then the bracha should have been liftos es haben. And the fact that is not the nusach is al pidyon haben, that seems to indicate that the mitzvah is not really the father. The mitzvah doesn't really belong to the father. The mitzvah really belongs to the son, and the father is almost serving as a representative on behalf of the son who can't do his mitzvah. This would be in contrast to by bris milah. Because by bris milah, the Rambam writes, if you mal your own child, then the correct bracha is lomol es haben. So unlike pidyon haben, where it becomes an al, to highlight, to reflect the fact that it's not your personal mitzvah, by bris milah, it really is your personal mitzvah. So, according to the pidyon haben, this week's Shia pidyon haben, it comes out, according to at least this reading of the Rambam, that the mitzvah of pidyon haben is primarily not really targeting the father. The mitzvah is really targeting the child. The father is only a representative of the son. Is there any nafkamina ladina besides just the nusach habracha? There could be a big nafkamina. We're going to talk about the following shot. What would the din be if, let's say, a father didn't get around to doing a pidyon haben, and now the child's already turned by mitzvah, and now the father wants to go ahead and do it? The father, the kid's bar mitzvah, all of a sudden the father goes, give out, we forgot to do pidyon haben, so let me take care of it right now. Whose mitzvah is it right now? It's already after bar mitzvah. So if you hold that the primary mitzvah is really to the father, then the father is still chayiv in the mitzvah. Just because the child is 65 years old, it's still the father's chayiv. But if you hold that, it was never the father's chayiv. It was really just the child's chayiv. The only reason why the father got stuck with it is because the child couldn't do it himself. But once the son reaches bar mitzvah, what he can do it himself, then maybe the father's chiyuv disappears. The father's chiyuv never really existed in the first place. It was only as a guardian, as an apotropos, as a shaliach on behalf of the son, that only makes sense when the son couldn't do it himself. That would chap enough gemin ladino. Who is responsible now to do the pidyon haben post 13? According to one side of this chakira, the obligation is now totally solely upon the son. The father's out of the picture. That seems to be the Rambam shita. But they say no, the father's still very much in the picture, and they're both obligated in the mitzvah of pidyon haben. So my nafkamina, at the end of the day, someone's going to do it. At the end of the day, does it really matter who we're pointing a finger to? So we had an interesting shayla, potential nafkamina ladina that came out of this. A real nice shayla. Pretty often in yeshiva, we get these situations where a kid comes our way, tshuva, from Russia, other places, that he really was a bechor, and he was supposed to have pidyon haben. Maisa, nobody knew about it, nobody heard of it, no one was from, nobody cared it. Well, maisa, the kid didn't have pidyon haben. And what inevitably happens is, he's sitting in some shir or something, the age of 19, and all of a sudden he has a pidyon haben, he starts scratching his head, he asks his friend, hey, he was the first one. They're not Kohanim, not Levim. So all of a sudden, Bachamu, we're required to have a pidyon haben. So I remember every once in a while we get one of these pidyon habens in yeshiva. So one of these scenarios that happened a couple of years ago was the following. That this kid, student in yeshiva, Bal Tshuva, just came to his attention that he's required to have a pidyon haben. So he called his parents, he said, yeah, you're firstborn. Okay, fine, so ready to do a pidyon haben. So the father got very excited. The father wanted to come for the pidyon haben. So, part of the Jewish life cycle, he got all excited, newfound mitzvah. The father lived out of town. He just couldn't get away from his visits, away from work for a while. So he said he'd be able to come in 2 weeks from now. So the shayla was, should we wait 2 weeks or not? The truth is, honestly, you should wait 2 weeks. That of a mouse.
But what we're asking is kind of a small point at this point, is that a reason to wait for 2 weeks on the Torah to show that? What should the Shabbat depend upon? But usually a book will give them a Gimel.
But even within the klaus, using the mitzvah, sometimes you have a clash between doing a mitzvah derech zeriza versus doing a mitzvah more behidura, doing a mitzvah in a more beautiful manner. That's the whole question, which one takes precedence. So here, having the father present, is that a hider in the mitzvah? I mean, it's a nice thing, and we should do it, and we should encourage it. We'll do it for kiruv. We'll delay dalek for 2 weeks. But from the pure halachic vantage point, is that a hider or not? So I thought it depends on the shaila. When they answer the shaila, we're talking about, I thought it depends on the shaila. It's the hold that the father is still chayav. So even though the son can do it on behalf of himself, the fact that the father is chayav, it would be appropriate for the father to actually be there at the Shas HaMitzvah. How do I know that? Because the Gemara tells us that, you know, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have representatives of Klal Yisrael would go up to Yerushalayim every week. Different groups of people would go up every week to be present when they brought the Korban Tamid. Why was that? The Gemara says, because when a person's Korban is being brought, a mitzvah is being done, it's your mitzvah. The carbon is being brought on behalf of me. How can I not be there? So in theory, we should all close up our businesses, close up our farms, and go to Yerushalayim and spend the whole year there as each day the carbon carbon is brought. But we can't do that. Pesach is a ganefek. People got to go to work. So therefore, Chazal instituted this whole practice of mamadot. You have representatives of Klal Yisrael who go up weekly to the Beit HaMikdash, representing all of Klal Yisrael. So you see that this is a real business. And then I tell you, this is a concept that if it's your mitzvah that's being done, it's proper for you to be there. Now, it's a hidden mitzvah, it's a great achievement of mitzvah when you're present watching a mitzvah being done. Not that it's just you're getting a message that your mitzvah was done for you 3,000 miles away. So I thought that if the mitzvah pinyin ben is still on the father, even though the child is already 20 years old, that the father is still a bialim in this mitzvah, then it's appropriate in halacha, he should be there. So if he can come, maybe it's kedai. Maybe that idea of having him come is more important than the reason we're giving the mitzvahs. If you hold that the mitzvah is not really the father's mitzvah, if you hold, like the Rambam is saying, it's al pidyon haben, I'm doing the mitzvah on behalf of my son, once the child is bar mitzvah, so then what do you need me for? I'm not a bal dover, I'm not a bialim anymore. So then I want to be there. It's nice for me to be there, but that's not a halachic consideration. So from the pure halachic system, so I thought whether or not we really should be machbet to delay the pidyon haben whenever the father come, ultimately depends upon this Rambam. Now, I'll get back to the story. So the first bracha that we recited the pidyon haben is the bracha of al pidyon haben. The fact that we recite the bracha is a gefer shigumar, for shiram, shulchan aruch. The fact that the nuscha bracha is such may indicate to us something about the nature of the mitzvah. The second bracha that was recited by Shechiyanu, which we mentioned, the Gemara says explicitly, was machlokes harishonim as to why he's saying it, but the ma'aseh of that bracha is also pretty straightforward. Those are the two brachas that at least appear in the Gemara itself concerning pidyon haben. There was a third bracha that does not appear in the Gemara, that appears in the text of the Gaonim, which also was recited, at least in the days of the Gaonim, at a pidyon haben. If you take a look at the third of the Maamar Mekomos, the Rosh in Maseches Bechoros, the very end of Maseches Bechoros, he has a couple of columns about Huchas Pidyon haben, kind of sums up everything you have to know about a pidyon haben. So it's Siman Aleph, the Rosh writes, he quotes a very, very long nusach, very complicated nusach from the Gaonim. Baruch Hashem, Kadesh, Bechori Yisrael, Langa, Megillah, whole nusach HaBracha, it doesn't appear in the Gemara. And the Rosh writes, he says that in France and in Germany, the Ashkenazi communities, so we never heard of this bracha. We don't recite this bracha. The Rosh has two issues against this bracha. First of all, we don't have a practice of reciting any bracha that doesn't appear in a Mishnah, doesn't appear in a Tesefta, doesn't appear in the Gemara. It's basically, after the period of the Gemara, so brachas ended. We have no right to make up new brachas. We don't find any chiddush in Hilchos brachas. We don't find a brand new bracha. All of a sudden, in the Middle Ages, somebody came up with a new nuscha bracha. That ability to enter the brachas was limited to the days in Ravina and Rav Ashi. Why is that? What exactly changed at the time of Ravina and Rav Ashi? So this is probably the same idea as the Rambam develops for us in the Zagdam to Perashim Mishnayis. The Rambam writes that any din that was agreed upon in the Gemara, any conclusion, any sugya in the Gemara, that paskas, the hilchas of halach, etc., or any clear conclusion of the Gemara in a certain direction, is binding upon all of Klal Yisrael. Anything that was discharged afterwards, if they have a based in a certain part of the world that decides to make a takana, minik, and zayr, or something, so it's binding on the people of that community, but it has no relevance to people outside the community. Let's say, Lamashal, some communities in Klal Yisrael accepted not to eat kitniyos in Pesach, and many of the Sephardic communities didn't accept that. Some of the communities accepted the Chayim, there have been a Gerish about not having two wives, and some of the Sephardic communities at the time didn't accept it. there are yesh v'yesh, and the Rambam writes that anything that was agreed upon by the Gemara, that is the tokef of a Kabbalah called Klal Yisrael. The days in Ravina Rav Asher, the Chassidus of Gemara, in the days above, the Gemara was concluded, so all of Klal Yisrael agreed to that. That was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. That takes on the status of what we call a Beis Din HaGadol, even though it's not 71 Dayanim sitting in Yerushalayim, but that's the consensus view of all of Chachma Yisrael. Now, in the Middle Ages, a Beis Din in France decides one thing, a Beis Din in Spain something else, North Africa something else, Bubble something else, each Beis Din for themselves, each Jewish community for themselves. So that's probably what the Rosh is saying here also, that Ravina and Rav Ashi were the end of the Haskamas called Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael, Beis Din HaGadol, they can institute brachas. Individual Rabbanim can institute brachas. As great as their individual Rabbanim and Bate Dinim are, they're only acting as individuals. They have no koach to institute brachas. That was the Rosh's first stand against his bracha. Just it's too late on the history. And the Ode says the Rosh conceptually doesn't understand this bracha. Lama Yivarech HaKayin Eina Osa Shum Mitzvah El Makabo Matnas Kehuda. The nusch of this bracha was instituted by the Gaonim to be recited by the Kohen. So the father recites Al Pidra Ben, and then the father recites Shechiyot. The Kohen recites this Langa Megillah. So the Rosh says, what's the Kohen reciting a bracha for? When I give Truma to the Kohen, I give Chal to the Kohen, he makes a bracha? We never heard of such a thing. He's not doing anything. You make a bracha when you're doing your mitzvah. You make a bracha when you're receiving a gift. So the Rosh said that he doesn't understand why in the world one would even think to make this bracha. So he has two issues against this bracha. One was a historical issue that's too late on the scene, halachically, historically. And number two, conceptually, it doesn't really seem to make any sense. So this bracha has probably not been recited since the days of the Gaonim, except one time it was recited. I was present that Pidyon Ben when it was recited. It was my mistake. One of my brothers-in-law was making a Pidyon Ben, so I brought him the sefer called Pidyon Ben Kilchos, a beautiful sefer. There's everything everyone wants to know about Pidyon Ben. I gave it to him before the Pidyon Ben. I should look up, read up a little bit. In the back of Sefer Pidyon Ben Kechaso, so there are two chapters. One chapter is, say the Pidyon Ben and Og Bizman Hazeh, goes through, takes you through the steps, and the Gnostic girl going through the steps. And then there's for the more academic chapter, it says, say the Pidyon Ben Lefi Minaga Ga'inim. So there are a few odds and ends of different Minhagim that existed in Babel in the 800s. That's what we've done, that we don't, some we do today, some we do a little bit different, some we don't do at all. Different nuances of Minhagim that were done during a Pidyon Ben of the days of the Gaonim. So my brother-in-law was reading the wrong chapter. So he opened up the book to say that Minhag Gaonim, not live as Malazah, but rather the few Minhag Gaonim. So he was standing with the Kohen. I remember I was standing there watching, and the Kohen was holding a regular art school sitter, and he came in and he said, this is my firstborn, and he starts to say a Nusach, and it didn't sound right. It grated on my ears. I figured, I must have missed something. Then the Kohen, the pump's going through the art scroll, he's answering him. He's like talking two different languages. And then I figured, whatever happened doesn't matter anyway. We made the brachas, did the Pidyon Ben. Then all of a sudden, everyone almost starts another brachas. What happened? Where is that bracha? And then I remembered, that bracha, that's the Russia's bracha that he said that the Tzarfas of Ashkenaz will not go last us. So in California, they did it. But in France and Germany, they didn't do it. So it's probably the first time in the last 1,200 years that bracha, first and last time that bracha was recited, thanks to my mistake. Okay. Anyway. So the question is, how do we respond? Is there any way to defend this old practice? The Gaonim wasn't just a mistake in Nusach. But the Hilge Gaonim, the Gedalia Dor Bava, were making this bracha, obviously. So how come they weren't so worried about the Rosh's two tainis? So the evidence is that the call from California. It must be the Ruch. And I'm talking from California. It must be some Ruch HaKodesh that... yeah. So how would the Gaonim respond to these two tainis? About the problems with these brachas. So the first attack that the Rosh has, we don't make brachas that were instituted after the Gemara. We have to take a step back and say, is that really true? We personally don't make brachas that were instituted after the Gemara. Any of us do. If you take a look at the fourth of the Ramakamah, Taiz in brachas, and Abdallah Rebbe's quote, a famous discussion, Yom Rabbi Yechon, Ezer ben Olam Haba, v'chulei, the Gemara says that one of the ways to get Olam Haba, one of the ways, last thing he's got to do, one of the ways to get Olam Haba is to be so mechru l'tzvila by Mayrif. That even Shachris, everyone's a Mechulut Tefillah. Mayrif is ready a Chiddush. You have to say Gol Yisrael and then immediately go into Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says, we don't do that. We say Shomer Mosel Ad. So the Gemara says, nah, that's like an extension of Geula. It's a Geula Richta. But Tosfos adds on, Va'amu She'omim Yireinenu P'sukus Acher L'Achashpirin. We say, Alanga Megillah Baruch Shem Le'Yoylem Yireinenu with Brachas and Maisas, the whole story. So he says, how do we do that? What happened to Geula Tefillah? So Nira Hov V'Tekidu L'Rabbanan Havlaki Geula Richta. He says, when the later Rabbanan instituted that, not in the Gemara, there's no mention of Baruch Shem, the element of the Gemara at all, it was instituted in the days of the Gaonim, So it's also like a geula richta. It's an extension of the bracha of Gol in Yisrael. Why in the world do we say this? The Gemara says in brachas that you're not supposed to leave somebody behind in shul. Dangerous. The olden days, the shuls were out of the city limits. If you're going to leave a guy behind in shul, you can walk back because you can get hurt on the way back. We have to make sure everyone walks out of shul in groups. So the Gaonim instituted that sometimes the guy will schlep in the mire of late, so he's going to be catching up. So if you're going to jump to Shomer Meshul Avad, everyone's going to say Shmoneh Esrei, he's still going to be in brachas Kriya Shema. So you give a little bit of a buffer, a little bit of a stall. So the stall is, everyone in shul says Baruch Shem Yolam. But he doesn't say Baruch Shem Yolam. A lot of people don't realize that. The whole goal of Baruch Shem Yolam was for the latecomers. So everyone else is saying it, and he doesn't say it, so he has a chance to catch up. By Aleinu, by Tillim afterwards, everyone walks home together. That was the goal of Baruch Shem Yolam. So places defend that practice of saying it. And we know that many people today, many shul, including the shul, said, including Pashul also says Baruch Shem Yolam. So the Baruch Shem Yolam was not instituted by the Chachmei Gemara. It was instituted after the Gemara. People say it. So there were Takasam who were opposed to saying it. There were those who didn't want to say it after for that reason, because they felt that it's a bracha. After the Chachmei Gemara, we have no right to say. So in Achinam, Takasam was so concerned with this Rosh and Chizpid Jaben, they refused to say it. Others don't like to say Baruch Shem Yolam because they thought that it breaks up Geula Tefillah, that we don't have a right to make another interruption. Part of Chazal made the interruption of Hashkivenu, but there's one another interruption that's not appropriate. But for those two reasons that many people daska have the practice not to say it. In Eretz Yisrael, nobody says it. It's nothing to do with Mitzvah Lewis Bar, it's just that's just the way it was. The minhag in Eretz Yisrael became that way. Hashkivenu is with Meir Vend, you know, there is no Baruch Shem Yolam. But that which the Rosh said, that you're not allowed to make brachas after the Chachmei Gemara, not so simple at all. Many of us that do recite the bracha, Baruch Shem Yolam. There are a few other brachas, odds and ends of brachas that we do recite that don't appear in the Gemara. The bracha of Anhoisein, Lo Yoif Koach, second to last of the bracha Shachar, is not in the Gemara. It was instituted after the Gemara. So we do say that. Yes, in the days of the Gemara, they all like Kirchas. They get older, no one in Kirchas anymore. So when they say Anhoisein, Lo Yoif Koach, we say Mekadosh Hashem Chabarabim, the bracha in the morning, Lefichach, that many people say in the shortened version of Kriya Shema, also doesn't appear in the Gemara. That's why some people don't say it. Some people just say Baruch Mekadosh Hashem Chabarabim. They don't say it, whatever, at all. So this is a running debate whether post Chachmei Gemara do we have the right to institute brachas or not. So the Gaonim were obviously of the opinion that yes, we do, and they did institute brachas. They weren't so concerned with this some inability to institute brachas. But the second issue that the Rosh raised, the conceptual issue, really is very hard to understand. Why does it make any sense for a Kohen to recite this bracha? What in the world is the Kohen doing? He's just passively receiving Matnas Kehunas, just receiving the Far Shekel. So there is another statement that the Gaonim have, that the Rishonim called a tradition that we still practice out of Yom HaZeh. When we do a Pidyon HaBen, so right before the Pidyon HaBen, we put in a little skit. We have a little conversation that takes place between the Kohen and the Father. It's done in Aramaic, so many people don't even understand it, but it runs something along the following, that the father comes, presents the baby to the Kohen, and says, this is my firstborn baby. So the Kohen says, what would you like to do? You want me to keep the baby? You want me to give you back the baby? What would you like exactly? You know, would you like to give me 5 shekel for the baby? So the father thinks about it a little bit. Baby's crying a little bit. Thinks, you know, maybe. Father says, you know what? I want to keep the baby. I want to give you this 5 shekel in exchange. And then they go ahead and they do the mitzvah. So the Gaonim quote that text, that give and take in Aramaic. That's why we say in Aramaic, because it was instituted in Bavel. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. So many had an issue with that. They said, what kind of game is that? The Kohen says to the father, do you want the baby? You don't want the baby? You want to pay me for the baby? Not pay me for the baby? And let's say the father would say that Taka, he's a little low on cash, keep the baby. There's no option. There's not a game. So why are we putting on this skit for? So we don't really understand why. So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, he thinks the reason why he put on this skit is the Gaonim are trying to emphasize the following, that the mitzvah pidyon haben, even though you mechuyav do the mitzvah whether you want it, you don't want it, whether you have it, whatever, you mechuyav do the mitzvah, but the nature of the mitzvah is such that the Kohen is an active role, plays an active role. Pidyon haben is not just like accepting truma. It's not just giving a gift to the Kohen. The Kohen is actually participating in the pidyas haben. In what sense is he doing that? The Torah is making believe that the Kohen owns the child. It's not true. Mice and Dinamonis, it's not true. The child is the child, it's the free man. That's not the property of the Kohen. But the nature of the mitzvah is, it's as if the Torah said the baby belongs to the Kohen, and you have to buy the child back, and the Kohen's mom is selling you the baby. That's the nature of the mitzvah pidyon haben. And that's why we say the strange give and take, to highlight that idea. So if that's the case, then it makes a lot of sense why the Gaonim said there's a bracha here. The Rosh jumped on the Gaonim and said, what are you making a bracha? Is the Kohen making a bracha? He's passive. He's not doing anything. So the answer is no, it's the Gaonim of Shitalsam. That the Gaonim, the same Gaonim who instituted the saying of the skit, the passage is between the Kohen and the Father, they wanted to also highlight again that the Kohen is an active participant in the mitzvah. There's the father's mitzvah, and there's the Kohen's mitzvah. The father's mitzvah is to give the money, the Kohen's mitzvah to give back the baby. That's Taka the mitzvah, and that's incumbent upon the Kohen. And that mitzvah would warrant a bracha. Where did they get this from? It doesn't appear in the Gemara Bechlal, this whole idea. That's where the Rosh said, the whole thing does it not true, the whole thing doesn't exist. Where in the world did the Gohenim get this idea that there are actually two components in the mitzvah Pidgin HaBem? But I thought that maybe they got it, mamash from reading the Pesukah ben Chumash. There are two parashas of Pidgin HaBem. There's the parasha and parashas Bo, Kadosh Lichol B'chor, B'chol B'nechatifta, etc. And then there's the parasha and parashas Korach that says, Ach Pado Sifta. You have to be poed to the firstborn. Who are those Pesukim talking to? So parashas Bo was clearly speaking to Klai Yisrael. V'davashu Moshe Leimor, Kadosh Lichol B'chor, V'ram V'yom Moshe La'om, Kadosh Baruch was speaking to Moshe, speaking to Klai Yisrael. To each and every Yisrael has to do the mitzvah. If you have a firstborn boy, you have to do the mitzvah Pidgin HaBem. That's the chelik of the mitzvah on the father. That's the bracha Pidgin HaBem, the first HaBem, whatever the nisqa bracha is, that's the first day for the mitzvah. In Parshas Korach, the psukim that speak of Pidgin HaBem are not even talking about the Klal Yisrael, they're talking to the Kohanim, the Yom HaShem Al Aram. It's talking about all the schuyot that a Kohen has. The Torah says the Kohen can eat truman, he eats kachim, and then it says, and by the way, you Kohen, ach pado sifte, you should do Pidgin HaBem. What do you mean you Kohen should do Pidgin HaBem? Why is Rebbe Shalom telling the Kohen to do Pidgin HaBem? The Kohen's not doing anything. The Kohen's sitting there. Someone's dropping 5 shekels into his pocket and showing. The answer is no. But the Kohen is an active participant in the Kohen is an active participant in Pidgin HaBem. That's the Mokka. Learned that from the Pesukim and Parshas Korach. And that active mitzvah requires a bracha. And that's why the bracha should be recited. But we don't really paskin that way. We paskin like the Rosh. That doesn't require a bracha. The Gaonim Shitalsam held that it was mamish, an integral part of the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBem. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva, that he thinks that you can't give Pidgin HaBem to a Kohen Katan. Even though a Kohen under the age of my mitzvah, he's still a Kohen, his condition is good to him, but he doesn't think you can give him the money for a Pidgin HaBem. Why is that? The Chassam Sofer writes, if Pidgin HaBem would have been just a passive, the Kohen would be a passive recipient of Matnas Kahuna, because then they give it to the Kohen Katan, why not? But since the Kohen has to do something, he's got to be mocked at the baby. How's he going to be mocked at a baby? He's under the age of a mitzvah. He can't be mocked at anything. He can't affect any kinyan in the Torah. The Chassam Sofer says that he thinks based on this sheet of the Gaonim, which I'm not sure what we're talking like, but based on this idea of the Gaonim, it would be inappropriate. It wouldn't be effective to do Pidgin HaBem or using a Kohen Katan. So I go upon him, the brachas and Pidgin HaBem, both the brachas that are said and the brachas that are not said, really shed some light about the very essence of the mitzvah. So this has really been the theme, hopefully which will continue, where you can really understand a lot about a mitzvah and looking at it through the eyes of a bracha. The brachas themselves are only the Rabbanan, but Chazal, the Tikkun Rabbanan came to Reis HaTikkun, where they instituted the brachas, so they had in mind the whole essence, the whole nature, what the mitzvah is all about. So they encapsulated the idea in the Nuscha Bracha about Pidgin HaBem, that the bracha is mitzvah fundamentally the child mitzvah and the father, the representative, as the Rambam said, the fact that they instituted Shechianu that highlights either the fact that it's a rare mitzvah that highlights that it's a mitzvah shel simcha, the fact that we paskin that there is no bracha that's recited by the Kohen, because we seem to be assuming that it's just that the Kohen is merely passive. The Gaonim who had the custom of reciting the bracha seem to be giving a whole different role. So the machlekes, the Gaonim in the Rosh, is the machlekes at a level of the Araisa. What is the very essence? What's the nature of Pidgin HaBem? What's the role of the Kohen in a Pidgin HaBem? And that machlekes at a level of the Araisa now spills over and plays out in terms of the existence, the lack thereof, of this particular bracha. Thank you.